Thanks for having me here. It's very exciting. The idea from this paper came from the fact, or from the observation, that virtually any application that looks both jointly at time series and price data is formulated in terms of affine models. Sorry. And we have so wonderful approximations from Yassin, from Jialin, from Stan, but still they're formulated in such general terms that we thought it might be worthwhile looking at a specialized form of density approximation. So the starting point is our modeling decision to work with an affine process, X here, and the unusual thing about affine processes, the way they're defined are in terms of the characteristic function, which is exponentially affine in the state variables. At this point, I should say that this is joint work with Damian Filipovic and Eberhard Meyerhofer. And we see in this exponential function here, we see two functions, phi and psi, which solve a system of Riccati equations. And we're going to use this fact later on. So as I said, the construction is around the characteristic function, and very little is known, in fact, about the transition densities. It is unclear for most models, except for like a few special cases, whether the transition density exists in the first place, which of course enormously complicates likelihood-based inference. At the same time, the class of affine models is very rich. So we have what is called the canonical state space, here with m factors living on the real line, and n factors living on the positive real line, and n factors living on the real line. But we also have a more sophisticated state space. For example, here, the space of positive definite symmetric matrices times like some stock, like log stock factors, which live on R. So there's richness in this model class. And the affine models have one property which we're going to exploit to a great extent, and this is the fact that they're members of the so-called polynomial family, where polynomial moments are mapped to polynomials in the state variables. They're not, of course, the only member of this class. The Pearson diffusions are another one. But for polynomial moments, we have, should go to the next slide. We have, we know that these moments exist, and we can actually compute them. So our game plan is quite ambitious. We would like to work out transition densities for which we don't have to work very hard. So we don't want to do a Fourier inversion. We know it's okay for one dimensions, but for more than one dimension, things get complicated and numerically very hard. We want them to work for any fixed time horizon t which is greater than zero, which is going to give us some improvement over Yassin's and Jialin's method, for example. We want them to converge to the true unknown transition density. This is something very natural to ask and very hard to show, as we will see. And last, we want them to be available in closed form so that we can use them without any hassle in empirical work. And it's very obvious that these, I mean, if we found a transition density approximations which satisfied all these criteria, then this would be very beneficial for applied work. So let's dive into the material. So first of all, we want to approximate densities, so we have to make sure that the densities exist in the first place. And here we can use Fourier theory to do this. We know that if the characteristic function is integrable, if it's L1 integrable, then first of all, the original density function exists. It is bounded and continuous. And this is Hard to show, but it's possible for a bunch of different models. For example, multi-dimensional CBI processes. So this would, for example, enclose affine models living on R+, like multi-dimensional processes living on R+. Integrated affine processes, which is very interesting for credit risk applications, for example. Things like Heston and, in general, affine term structure models. So this is very, very, very nice to have. We know that these things are do have densities, but we have to put restrictions on the parameters. So we have to make sure that the processes do not attain the boundary of the state space. This is a necessary condition for existence of the densities. So now that we've shown that the things exist, our next topic is to find out how we can do a proper approximation. And it's a sort of a nice statistical question. We have a random variable of which you know that the polynomial moments exist, and we can even compute them. And the question is, well, how can we come up with a good transition density approximation using this information? And there's one complicating fact. Since we're after multivariate models, and in particular irreducible models with jumps, we cannot do the clever standardization that Yassine did, because a nonlinear transformation will take away from us the advantage of knowledge of the polynomial moments, because we would have to approximate expectations of nonlinear functions of the state rather than polynomials. And as it turns out, the L2 expansion is the right way of approximating densities, because we will be able to use the polynomial moments, as we shall see in a second. So if affine processes lived on a compact, we could do a purely polynomial expansion. But since this is not the case, we will have to play tricks, and we will have to work in what we call a weighted L2 space, which is defined as the equivalence class of functions which are integrable with L2 integrable with respect to this weight W. We have to put structure on W. So we ask from W to have exponential tails. This will ensure that the polynomials lie dense in this weighted L2, such that we can approximate things. And this integrability condition that we ask here, so that the true unknown density G over the weight is integrable in this weighted L2 space, boils down to the existence of exponential moments. And this is something that is usually assumed, and this is turns out to be very hard to prove. So with the polynomials lying dense in this L2, we can come up with an orthonormal basis of polynomials with which we can represent the unknown density G here, or I should say G over W, as a sum of weighted polynomials, where these CKs here are linear functions, are functions of the polynomial moments which we have in closed form. And if we mentally switch back for a second to the G over W notation, it becomes intuitively clear that the closer W is to G in the first place, the smaller will be the correction from the polynomials. And since in applied work we will have to truncate the series at some point, we introduce another piece of notation, G of J, which is this series truncated here at J. By the way, this is all written down in univariate notation. We can do this in multivariate, and you just have to think in terms of multi-indices. But it's just like a complication of notation. So here everything is in univariate. And the nice thing about this L2 expansion and the fact that we have, we can precisely and in closed form compute these CKs instead of having to approximate them, gives us a very nice feature, namely that this series, this truncated representation of the density integrates to one for each J, which is, of course, very beneficial for Bayesian work. Still, it's not a density because we have here a polynomial, so the thing can become negative. But in our numerical experiments, we've never had any problems with negativity here with this density. So we have, by construction, we have L2 convergence of our density approximation. And we know that it's possible to come up with examples of functions which converge in L2 to something, but which diverge in every point. So we're naturally interested in some other form of convergence. And it turns out that if we can show that the alpha derivative of G with respect to the forward variable, where alpha must be greater than D, which is the dimension of the state vector, if this lies in our L2 weighted by 1 over W, then we have this nice global convergence here in the infinity norm. But in order to show this, we have to make sure that the exponential moments of the derivative of the density exists. And this is also, again, something which is very hard to show. But this is, as you can see, this is a very good convergence we can get here. It turns out that we can compute polynomial moments of the derivatives of the density. We can do this the same way. So the polynomial moments are very easy to obtain through the integration by parts formula, and we can engineer an approximation much the same way, an approximation to the derivative of the density much the same way as we do to the original density. So this is something very nice. Okay, so this is the theory. Now I'm going to show you some applications and pictures. What we see here is the density of the Hessian density, where the backward variables are held fixed at some reasonable values, and the forward variance variable is held fixed at some reasonable variable. And we see here the green density is the true density, which is obtained by Fourier inversion, which is computationally very intensive. And the red density is obtained with our density approximations with the series truncation of J equals 4. And I should, of course, have given you the log difference. This would have been more honest, but still, I couldn't resist putting this in because you cannot distinguish the two with the bare eye. Okay? I have to be honest, though, to you. We, of course, compared in the univariate case our approximation to Yassin's approximation. And in order to get the same degree of accuracy, we have to go really order 12, where Yassin goes order 2. But this is the price we have to pay for not being able to do the standardization, which is only possible for univariate models or reducible multivariate diffusion models. Okay? So if you will, this is the price of flexibility. Since we heard so much about the leverage effect, I put another picture here with the same parameterization, where we changed the leverage parameter rho and looked at the density for different values of rho, pushing up the leverage effect, and we can see how we can increase the skew. Let's move on to the applications and simulation studies. We generated 200 data sets from the Heston model and for this square root jump diffusion here with reasonable parameters. We did only 200 because we had to do like tons of Fourier inversion in order to get exact draws from the process. And this already took weeks, so we didn't go more data sets, but we will do eventually. So we generated 200 data sets of each of the processes, and then went back and re-estimated the model parameters using the quote-unquote true transition density obtained by Fourier inversion, very computationally intensive and numerically difficult, and our density approximations, which are available in closed form and are very, very fast. So there's virtually no difference in using our density approximations and Euler approximation. It takes a while to compute them in the first place, but once they're implemented, they're very, very fast. And we re-estimated the parameters under both Bayesian and frequentist methodology and looked at the... So what I'm going to show you here now is the difference of the posterior distribution of the parameters obtained by the true transition density obtained by Fourier inversion and our density approximation for a couple of orders. So for the Heston model, what we can observe is, so what you see here in this table are p-values. We performed a Kolmogorov-Smirnov test between the two posterior densities. And we see that the increasing the order of approximation is beneficial. So for most parameters here of the Heston model, even for like an order 4 approximation, you cannot statistically distinguish between the posterior obtained by the true and the approximated density. This comparison is kind of unfair for the jump diffusion process because order 2 is just built on the first two moments, so very naturally the jump, the parameters determining entering the jump size distribution will not be identified or cannot be identified from the rest of the parameters. And we get better results for an order 4 approximation, but still not very good for the jump parameters here. This is the jump intensity, and this is the expected jump size of the exponential jump distribution. But still, in our opinion, at least, the things work very well. And we get similar results regarding the bias and standard deviation of the sampling distribution that we get from the re-estimating with frequentist methodology. One nice, like the final thing that I would like to mention is that if this L2 weight W is chosen in a clever way, then we can also do option pricing in closed form, which is of course very cool. So what we looked at here is again the Heston model, where we construct a density approximation directly about the marginal moments of X, which we can do. We can compute all the moments in closed form. We do a clever standardization. It's not as clever as you think, but it works very well. And choose a proper L2 weight W with support on R, where we have to have exponential tails. And then looked at the option pricing formula for European options. And we can write this in this way. And we replace the true density here with our density approximation. And it turns out we can compute, given a proper choice for L2 weight W, we can compute these things in closed form. So we have actually a closed formula for call option prices. And we can do this for Heston. We can do this for multivariance models. We can do this for matrix variance, like a matrix valued variance driver. So this is, we think, a very powerful tool. The only drawback, as you will see here, is that for computing option prices for out-of-the-money options, here the at-the-money is 5.1. So the option prices get very, very small, and the fact that we have chosen the L2-weight W with the wrong tail inevitably materializes in quite a pricing error here. So we see on the x-axis, we see we have strike price. So in this direction, we move out of the money. And here we have the difference, like the percentage difference between a six-order approximation of the option price and the true option price obtained with Fourier inversion again. And we can see that, like for in-the-money options, we have a pricing error of virtually zero, but then it's sort of skyrockets as we move into the tails, because we got the because the L2 weight that we chose does not have the correct tail, and the polynomials are not cannot correct this enough. So let me conclude. So we're working on approximations to transition densities, which exploit the properties of affine models to a great extent. In particular, we use existence of knowledge of polynomial moments of affine processes. The approximations are maybe applied to multivariate models, in particular multivariate models with jumps. As long as they're affine, it's okay. And very nice feature is that the method works equally well for reducible and irreducible stochastic volatility models. One feature that I should have mentioned before, which is also in Stan's paper, is the fact that the expansion is performed on the correct state space. So there is no probability mass where there shouldn't be probability mass, which we found a very nice and natural way to go about this. And finally, for Bayesian inference, our expansions integrate to unity for every series truncation J. Thank you.